All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome into Daily Faceoff Live here on Wednesday, April 10th. We are live on the DFO YouTube looking for your inbox questions. And as always, we are brought to you by Betano. Plenty of Betano talk coming up later on in the show. Steven Ellis is going to swing by because he's got new draft rankings to share with us. But in the meantime, it's me, Tyler Remchek, and our insider, Frank Saravalli, who's up to his usual tricks, breaking big news. Frank, busy morning for you.
Yeah, it has been. I guess it's kind of been a slow boil to this point, but certainly learning some more details that we're more comfortable with reporting now.
Yeah, so let's not waste any time and get right into it. The NHL, as you reported, planning two schedules for next year, one with a team in Arizona, one with a team in Salt Lake City, Utah. The full story up at dailyfaceoff.com. And Frank, you know, nothing is final, but this is, again, showing just how serious the league is about potentially packing up and moving the Coyotes.
Yeah, I think really what happened was about a month ago at the NHL's general managers meetings, a lot of people took the headlines that came from it as saying, hey, the land auction date being in June for the Coyotes meant that it was real likely that they'd be staying for next season, at least one more at Mullet Arena, no matter what happened there. And so that part, I think, isn't entirely correct. I still think at the base of this, the NHL is a big believer in the Arizona market. We have two decades of evidence to point to knowing that that's the case. But I think there's some skepticism, I think is a fair way to frame it, that between this land auction, which is just one step and one part of the process, to then ultimately getting the infrastructure in place, the shovels and steel on the ground. Will there be any legal hurdles or challenges or roadblocks that pop up between now and then? Even if everything were to go perfectly, what you're looking at is puck drop in October of 2027 for the 27-28 season, with the Coyotes continuing to play at Mullet Arena until then. So that part, I don't think the league is entirely comfortable with. The idea that maybe they're not successful or don't win this land auction is another thing. And so they've been preparing on dual paths here of what potentially could happen should you decide to pull up stakes and relocate this franchise to Salt Lake City. Now, there's other machinations that are involved in that part too. You need to have a willing participant in Alex Mariuolo. And I'm told that while there was some potential pushback at the beginning of this. It sounds like of late he's been more amicable and participating in those discussions, in which he'd sell his control of the franchise ultimately to Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group in Salt Lake City to have the team relocated to play there next season. So it would be a big transaction. There'd be a lot of, you know, layers to it, including a relocation fee that ultimately gets slid to NHL owners. And this is all fluid. There's a lot of moving parts to it, but the bottom line is this, and the most clear news to report that is absolute stone cold fact is that relocation for next season for the Coyotes to play in Salt Lake City is still very much a real possibility and on the table.
You used the line in your story that Mariello is intimately involved in this process. So this isn't going to be some sort of example of the NHL just pulling the rug out from under him and then overnight saying, see ya, no more team, big guy. Like, this is, and it needs to be, right? If it's going to happen in a timely order, like, it needs to have both sides playing along.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned that part, because that's a key to all of this happening. I think the NHL has been concerned, and frankly is still concerned right now, that they can, that this will all come together and this will happen. There's going to be a significant financial, you know, part of this to Alex Mariello to again essentially get him to take a step back and reboot. And it seems like that's heading in a positive direction, but again, nothing is done. So they want to make sure, everyone wants to make sure that they tread carefully here in making sure that the terms of this are satisfied. Because I think one of the other things that they kind of investigated or looked into is what would happen if we were to go the other route, which is certainly the more forceful and difficult route of trying to potentially involuntarily strip him of the franchise. That's a whole total different thing, which could then lock you into a court battle for years to come, which obviously no one wants. So they've sort of been handling this, I don't think it's fair to say with kid gloves, but I think it's probably in the best interest of the overall NHL 32 teams to try and make something happen and try and make Alex Mariello happy.
Let's keep going a little bit longer here with the decision that's coming in the desert. And I mean, Frank, they obviously need to speed up the timeline. They can't wait until that land auction in June. So let me throw a hypothetical your way. Let's say in the next week to 10 days, they say, hey, we are taking this franchise, moving it to Salt Lake City, Utah. And Mariello comes through at the end of June and says, whoa, I just won this land auction. I'm going to privately fund an arena. Now what?
Well, that's actually a big answer to a question that's sort of lingering, which is, so if all of these things are, or with all of these things going on behind the scenes, what does that mean for the renderings and the full-throated statement that the Coyotes put out last week saying that they're committed to Arizona? Both of these things can be true at the same time. The Coyotes can be committed to Arizona while also still engaging in a sale process. So how does that work? Well, as part of a deal to sell the team potentially right now to Ryan Smith in Utah, what could be part of it is language that includes for Alex Mariello, if you go out and build this arena, if you, you know, win this land auction, if you get everything done, if you abide by the terms and conditions of our agreement, there could be language that allows for the possibility of the Coyotes franchise to be reactivated, if that's the word that you want to use, as an expansion franchise some years down the road. Now, not a guarantee. That's been one of the things that's been talked about and floated, but it really makes sense when you think about it, because on the way out, you want to be kind to Arizona, right? And we know that Commissioner Gary Bettman and Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly have been really committed, ardently committed to hockey working in Phoenix. We're two decades into this odyssey now. And so if that is, you know, still true and the case, then what better way to say that you're committed than by driving home the point with your fan base there, hey, we want to come back. And I do believe, whether it's with Alex Mariello, if it's with someone else, if the Coyotes move to Salt Lake City, it's not going to be forever that Arizona doesn't have a team. It kind of reminds me of the situation in Minnesota. The North Stars moved to Dallas. 5-6 years later, they build the arena, they get it right, they get a team back in the Wild, and obviously they've been healthy ever since. And I think all of this, to put a kind of giant bow on the conversation, I think this approach, if it is able to get pulled off, this is just my opinion, is the best for the overall health of the league. You get a burgeoning new market in Salt Lake City in the fold. It's one of the fastest growing in the U.S. It has a proud hockey history as a minor league city. And more than that, you now have the door open potentially to reboot in Arizona. And I think they need that ultimately. I think there's a lot of sort of toxicity that exists with the Coyotes in their current state right now, with the different issues that they've had with municipalities, with their small arena at the moment, playing in a college arena. I think they just need a refresh and maybe some time away with proper ownership and commitment and proper arena from the beginning. I really do have full faith that they could make it work in Arizona. They just probably need to restart.
Yeah, and Jay asked a question in the chat. Why would the NHL give another team to Phoenix, though, Frank? And I think you kind of answered that. Like, again, it has the potential there. The NHL's not stupid. They haven't been trying to do this for two decades without any knowledge or idea that it could work out. It's been arena issues. It's been other issues. If they can get that building up in a prime spot, which, again, the plan would be if they win that auction, then there is a path to hockey working in the desert. It's just right now, the recipe's maybe not there. Just quickly, timeline-wise, I mean, with the Jets and Thrashers, it was mid-May, end of May when things started to piece together. Is that what we're looking at here? Maybe faster? What do you think?
I think the possibility exists for it to be faster. I think there's a ton of hurdles that you need to get to. Look, I don't know. This part I couldn't really pin down, but the date that I keep hearing is April 18th. I think a lot of people have been told that these next 10 days or so are really critical to the overall timeline. But the fact is, the NHL has time. You mentioned those two dates in May. It was really May 20th, 2011, that the first true report of a deal being consummated between Atlanta and Winnipeg was, in the final throes. The league denied it at the time, and 11 days later, they were announcing that the Thrashers were moving to Winnipeg. So it could go basically up until that point, but I do believe, of course, Bill Daly at his word back at the GM meetings last month, that if we start to leak into June and there's no relocation, no sale, that basically locks the Coyotes in for another year in Arizona.
That is the big story of the day, and we'll continue to have it covered as news breaks over on dailyfaceoff.com. Frank, but let's get into the playoff race, because last night on the ice in the NHL, boy, it was a big one. You had the Capitals beating the Red Wings 2-1, the Flyers get smoked by the Habs, and the Islanders keep their hot streak alive. A fifth straight win for the New York Islanders. You can see the numbers on your screen here. 4-2, they take down the New York Rangers. Bo Horvat got the winner, and with another big 2 points against a strong opponent, it's starting to feel more and more like the Islanders have a stranglehold on that third Metro spot.
Without a doubt, they are in the driver's seat. Their playoff chances have rocketed all the way up to 82%, according to Ineffective Math. The big thing, Gav, if you throw up that graphic again, that stands out to me is 5-game winning streak, and you've only allowed 8 goals against. I mean, and then we start to talk about which team might be a live dog in the first round, and the Islanders stand out to me. Anytime you're throwing Ilya Sorokin at someone in a 7-game series, that's unique game-breaking potential. But they're obviously energized. They look and are playing much better. And leave it up to St. Patrick to try and make some miracles happen for the Islanders.
So the Islanders sit in that third spot. I mentioned the Washington Capitals. They got a massive 2 points. That was their, in quotes, game in hand on the Pittsburgh Penguins and Detroit Red Wings, and they took advantage of it. So they now leapfrog both of those groups. They stand alone in that second wild card spot. So 4 games to go for all of these teams. The Capitals, that was a big, big moment for them, scooping up that 2 points as well. And on the flip side of that spectrum, we aren't going to do the postmortem today, Frank, but the Flyers are done.
Well, it's also a really crushing loss for the Red Wings too. So that's a huge part of it. That it was not just the game in hand, but it was also a massive opponent that's in the chase with you. So really, I think what we're left with, at least statistically, mathematically, is more or less a coin flip. And probably fitting at that, that it's the Caps and Pens, two teams that timeline wise in their builds and whatever else and their star power kind of just seem to be forever linked. So we enter the last 8 days of the regular season saying, holy smokes, Ovi or Sid, which one's getting in? And oh, by the way, Alex Ovechkin now has the most career 30 goal seasons. The fact that he gets to 30 after being at the All-Star break with 8 is insane. And so this is what we once were talking about as the pillow fight in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you've got essentially the Islanders having carved out a great path for themselves in the driver's seat, and you've got the Penguins and Caps going toe-to-toe. Flyers essentially out, and man, did they get run over. Night of hat tricks last night, by the way. Don't sleep on Slavkovsky and that hat trick for the Montreal Canadiens, because man, really enjoyed my conversation yesterday with Kent Hughes, the GM of the Habs, which dropped on Frankly Speaking, 40 minutes of a pure state of the Montreal Canadiens, and no doubt Slavkovsky is going to play a huge part in that.
I can see our guest coming up, Stephen Ellis, in his preview window, Frank. And when you said the Slavkovsky hat trick, he gave a fist pump. He's fired up about it. Nice. All right. That was what was going on in the Eastern Conference playoff race yesterday. A couple of other storylines at play. First off, for a brief moment, the Winnipeg Jets had passed the Colorado Avalanche for second in the Central, but the Avs go on and win 5-2 over the Minnesota Wild. They get back into that two spot and once again have home ice advantage, at least for now. Also, Nikita Kucherov put up 3 assists yesterday, and it was like, okay, is that his statement game to run away with the Art Ross and also maybe inch closer in the Hart Trophy race? And Nathan MacKinnon did the old hold my beer, Frank. He lights up a hat trick in the win. He is now up to -333 over on Betano to win the Hart Trophy. That hat trick was electric. All of them were just vintage Nathan MacKinnon goals in that game, Frank. Has he cemented himself as the Hart Trophy winner with that performance and his 50th goal of the season?
Man, it is so close. And the amazing part is, I mean, just you look at all these goals. And by the way, if you have a chance to listen to them, some great calls by John Buchagross, making those calls on ESPN. It was a treat to watch. He's just a force of nature. That's, you know, it's pure power on display. And I think it's really interesting to kind of, you know, you mentioned what the odds look like, and just kind of going through my timeline. I don't know if it's because he plays in Tampa. I don't know if it's because he's won a Hart Trophy before. I don't know what it is, but stylistically, people want to seem to hand this award to MacKinnon over Kucherov because of what? I'm not entirely certain, but Nikita Kucherov is 53 points clear of his next closest teammate. Like, has Nathan MacKinnon solidified it? Not for me. Like, I really need some time to go through this and deliberate, because I went into this week thinking that Kucherov was my guy at number one. And obviously, it's still up for grabs. A lot to be determined. McDavid looks like he's going to be missing some time. I don't have McDavid probably even in the three spot right now. That would probably be Artemi Panarin. But McDavid is closing in on potentially becoming just the fourth player in NHL history to have 100 assists in a season. So there's a lot to unpack. I just don't think it's nearly as clear cut just because Nathan MacKinnon is a bull in a china shop, in making it happen stylistically, that you just, hey, here's your Hart Trophy.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Four games to go, and we're still debating the Hart Trophy. That is awesome for the NHL and just shows how good this season has been. Since the year 2000, Frank, the five most productive individual seasons by points, three of them have come this season with McDavid, McKinnon, and Kucherov doing what they're doing. You touched on McDavid. Oilers Golden Knights tonight is a big one in Edmonton. Connor McDavid listed as questionable for that game tonight at Rogers Place.
Yeah, and I was going to say there's so many layers to this to consider. I sent you a text last night with the record that Nikita Kucherov continues to add to. I don't know that it counts for anything or means anything to me, but he's got the most empty net points in a season ever. He's at 14. So that was from our friend Paul Paduti, who does great work for us at dailyfaceoff.com. Again, but then I look at Kucherov and I go, look at the points that he puts up against the top 10 teams in the league. It's way better than McDavid and McKinnon.
Yeah. All right, let's move along to our big segment for the day and get to the next wave with Stephen Ellis. This wave is delivered by DoorDash. You can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Stephen Ellis, our Daily Faceoff prospect analyst, has a brand spanking new draft rankings coming out tomorrow, and he joins us now to break it all down. Stephen, my favorite question when we have you on to talk draft rankings, and hey, we're only a few months away from the big day, your biggest riser on this edition of the list?
Well, first off, it was cool to see that Jackson Blake signed with Carolina today. He's one of my favorite prospects, and he's up for the Hobie Baker, and the Hurricanes just announced that a few minutes ago. But when it comes to who's really moved up in the rankings for me, it's Teddy Stiga. And you see him with the U.S. National Team Development Program this year, putting up very good numbers, both against USHL competition in Europe and against college teams. The thing about him that's very interesting, and I actually wrote a profile for him on the website today, was last year he was actually, I'd argue, maybe one of the worst players on that development team. He was very weak. He was 5'9 and I think 145 pounds. He got hurt very easily near the end of the season. And he kind of took that as an opportunity over the summer to just kind of physically build out his profile a little bit, because you could see the talent was there, but he was struggling keeping up with guys. He wasn't strong enough to win those battles, and that really bothered him. He's 5'11", he's 175 pounds now, so a bit more of a manageable size for a draft prospect, still not big. But the thing that stands out to me is he could play with just about anyone. He has played with James Haggins, he's played with Kamil Benderek, he's played with so many good players on this team, and every time, it's kind of like with Oliver Moore last year. Different style player, but with Moore, it didn't seem to matter who he played with, whether he was on the second line, whether he was on the third line or the fourth line. He always found ways to impress because of his work ethic, and that's what we're seeing with Stiga here, and it's interesting because NHL Central Scouting had him listed at the start of the year as a sixth or seventh round pick. That's W ranking on their list. Now we're looking at a guy that a lot of scouts are saying maybe he goes 25th, 26th, or 27th overall. As high as that. I have him going 27th. I think he's a first round talent because he's just a buzzsaw type of player. One scout told me every team needs a guy like Teddy Stiga. So I like him. He's going to be going to the NCAA next year, and I think that'll be a good opportunity for him to continue bulking out and maybe become a little stronger.
I got to ask you, Stephen, about Teja Ginla. Some people have him as high as sixth on some of the rankings that I see. I love going to elite prospects and teeing up your rankings as well as everyone else's. But where do you have him, and where's the highest you can see him going? I know the Calgary market's going to be listening to this.
So I have him at number 11, but it's really close. Like, I spent a long time kind of deciding who 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th would be. I could say he goes as high as 5th or 6th. Obviously, yeah, a lot of Flames fans, a lot of Habs fans are talking about him right now. Aginla is a guy that just loves having the puck on his stick. And we saw that at the CHL Top Prospects game, where he was one of the best players in that game. I don't think he actually got a point. It seemed like anytime he would do something, his line mates just couldn't keep up or just weren't in the right spot. And in a game like that, everyone's kind of just playing a different role than usual. So that happens. But you see the numbers this year. He's a shooting machine. He gets so many goals. He's been just good in kind of every scenario this year. And I've said this before, but he played with Seattle last year. He was in a situation where he was deep in the lineup, couldn't really prove himself. I don't know how many people really consider him a first-round talent. But this year, he's been the guy with the Kelowna Rockets. He's been the guy that can go out there, take over a shift. You put him in any situation. He's got some tenacity. Obviously, he's from a big hockey family, so he's got that mentorship there. I like him a lot. I could see him going top five. There's a few defensemen I just really think teams need to be taking a look at, and that's why I put him at number 11.
It's going to be fascinating. Always fascinating is where teams select goalies, and I'd been advocating, based on the importance of the position, that more teams should be considered taking them in the first round if they find someone who makes sense. I think you kind of share that opinion. But when it comes to the goalies in this year's prospect pool, who should we be excited about?
This is not a good year for goalies. Right now, I don't have any goalies in my top 50. I did have Ryerson Leanders at one point, kind of near the end of the first round, Mississauga Steelheads goalie. I think my one concern with him was watching him kind of get beat out by Jack Ivankovic, the other goalie on that team. They were 1-2 in save percentage this year on a Mississauga team that didn't have a ton of defensive help at points. So Ryerson Leanders is number one. Carter George out of Owen Sound, another guy people are really looking at. And Emil Vinny out of Finland. Those are the names that I'm thinking could all go in the top two rounds. I don't think teams are going to take a chance on a goalie in the first round this year. Next year is a different story, though. I mentioned Jack Ivankovic, someone who was on the radar a few years ago when I was watching him at 13, 14 years old in the GTHL. Not a big guy, but just an unbelievable battler. Had a really good showing at the U17s this year. So this year, goaltending, you're looking at mostly backups at best, but next year, that could change.
Interesting. To wrap things up, big news in the prospect world this week. We have the second ever player in the WHL getting exceptional status in Landon Dupont. I remember doing play-by-play for those brick tournament games 5 years ago in 2019 and being like, holy crap, this 9-year-old defenseman is absolutely unreal. He scored an OT winner at one point, and I was like, I feel like I'm going to be hearing about this kid at some point. Exceptional status for Dupont. Is it, I guess, it's tough to ask this, like, is it justified, and what? How legit is he?
Yeah, 100% justified. You know, when you look at central scouting kind of over time, exceptional status over time, like Adam Fantilli, Jack Hughes were guys that looked like they were going to get it and didn't. So they've been very, selective on who they pick. So when a guy gets it, people notice. I know you look at Sean Day as kind of the example of a guy that probably didn't deserve it when you look back at it, but watching him play against the, U16 competition as an underage player, yeah, it was time for him to go to the OHL. He was physically way ahead of everybody. Same thing with Aaron Ekblad. It's harder, I think, for a defenseman to stand out like Landon Dupont has, but you mentioned him at the Brick Tournament. That's when a lot of scouts started to really take a look at him. He was only 9 years old, but he just controlled the puck to the point where, like, you thought he was a forward. And for the longest time, people were writing about him on websites saying he's a forward. He's a defenseman. And you look at those numbers, one of the most productive seasons we've ever seen out west in any form of minor hockey. So 100%, he skates like Cale Makar, moves the puck like Cale Makar. Physically, I think there's still some room to grow, but he's 14 years old. So, like, yeah, you would expect that. Landon Dupont, get ready to hear his name. I liked his dad, watching him play at the Spangler Cup for years, Mickey Dupont. But Landon Dupont, he's going to be an NHL star that's going to be chasing Norris trophies one day.
Only Stephen Ellis could come on the show and be like, yeah, I loved watching his dad in the Spangler Cup. Like, what?
He played so many years in that, so it was easy to remember him. I think he wore number 56.
That is why we bring you on, Stephen Ellis. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much.
Daily Faceoff inbox question brought to you by Douglas Mattress. Find out more at douglas.ca/DFO. I mean, it's always so funny to sit here and talk about, oh yeah, I watched him when he was 9. He was way better. Also in Major League Baseball, Frank, Jackson Holliday, the number one prospect, got recalled. Buster only had a tweet from 11 years ago where he tweeted Matt Holliday's son, future all-star, and he got like clowned for it. People were like going, I was going through the replies, they were like, Jesus, he's nine, what are you talking about? Jackson Holliday now recalled to the majors. So sometimes you just know. Our Ask DFO question for today, Frank, comes in from Joe, who I think is a Rangers fan, if I remember his old questions correctly. But he wants to know, if you had to give one team the label of the beasts of the East heading into the playoffs, who would you give it to?
Man, that's a good question, because a lot of people view the Rangers as being a flawed team. I kind of view the Bruins as that too. I think they've probably had goaltending cover up a lot of their issues this year. And there was some interesting data from SportLogic yesterday, which indicated that the Bruins, if not for the save percentage, had they gotten league average goaltending, would be closer to 96 points right now. I really like Florida. And I really like the Canes. I think, not to say that someone else is incapable of beating those two teams, but I just think Florida has this unique blend of size and talent and meanness that I think just makes for chaos in the playoffs, if I could spit that out. So if I had to label one team, Florida would be mine.
Interesting. Quickly, some news and update on Connor McDavid. For those wondering, skated on his own today. Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch calling him a game time decision. And on that note, let's get into our daily bets brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. I am going out to that Edmonton-Vegas game, but I'm taking the superstar on the other side. Jack Eichel has been hammering his shot prop as of late. He has crushed this in four of his last five, and in that one miss, he got up to three shots on goal. He only missed it by one. So I like Jack Eichel tonight in a big game against the Oilers to be ripping pucks. His number at 3.5. Take the over. And another over, the total between Arizona and Vancouver. This has hit in 7 of the last 10 for the Coyotes. And for the Canucks, it's hitting back-to-back in 3 of the last 4. As always, keep it locked on Daily Faceoff. Wait until the starting goalies are announced, because if Thatcher Demko's back, I'm probably a little bit hesitant.
I can tell you, Thatcher Demko is not back tonight.
Then lock in the over right now. Don't worry about anything else. I like that over 6.5 between the Yotes and Canucks. That brings us to Garbage Time. It's brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. These are your options tonight. If you've made it on to day 3 of the Survivor Pool, I think this will actually end up being for tomorrow's slate. But regardless, if you're alive, do some studying. If you're not alive, go to Wendy's for breakfast, lunch, whenever, because all day you can get or take advantage of the $5 Cinnabon pull apart and small coffee combo. Get it today by downloading the Wendy's app. Frank, what do you got for me for garbage time?
So the NHLPA player poll, the annual player poll, was released today. And man, I've always appreciated the player poll in the past, but I was kind of just left wanting here, because I just look at, and hey, this part made me extremely proud. Which global destination do you want to see host NHL games? 12% of player respondents said Italy, which is amazing, because the largest collection of players born outside of North America in the NHL they're from Sweden, and they finished second. Yeah, let's play some games in Italy. Sold. We're going to have some NHL games in Italy in 2026 with the Olympics in Milano Cortina. But that said, just the overall player poll itself, it's anonymous. Make it spicy. You are getting the responses from the best players in the world, and almost all of them are participating, or at least a huge chunk of them. Did you see the NFLPA player poll where they ranked 1 to 32 who had the worst facilities, the worst doctors, the worst everything? And no one was like, oh my God, we're really embarrassed. Can't believe someone will put that information out there. It was like, hey, that's an incentive for you to get better at what you do. And then for the rest of it, it was like, well, hey, we're gloating. We've got the best chef in the league. We've got the best food. We've got the best locker room. We've got the best trainers. It just creates buzz. It creates something that people talk about. Not to say that they won't. We're obviously talking about this NHLPA player poll, but if it's anonymous, go to the mat. Give us something to chew on.
I'm with you. I am with you 100%. I live for that spiciness. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Before we do wrap up, though, I want to give a shout out in the YouTube to our pal Mistaken Mexican, who wanted us to give some love to the guys out in Chestermere who are going for the longest hockey game. They're raising money for the Children's Hospital out there. Their game's going on until April 16th, so they're watching along. Best of luck to you as you chase that down. Tomorrow, it's going to be Frank and Carter Hutton on the show, so make sure you're subscribed. You won't want to miss it. Chat with you noon Eastern here on Daily Faceoff.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.